Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited to be with you guys today. I missed being here last week. I know that Pastor DJ Smith did an incredible job bringing the word, and I was so thankful to him for filling in for me. And he talked about, I know, raising Eutychus, and hopefully that is, you've remembered that throughout this week, and it has been influential in your life. But we're going to continue today. We began 2 weeks ago a series called We, and we're building each week the phrase we, and then this week we'll talk about we will. Next week we'll talk about we will not, and then the final week we'll talk about we will not fail. If we fail not to love. And so I want to begin to look at the Word of God today. If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. This is known as the love chapter in the Bible, where Paul gives us an incredible illustration of what love really is and what it should look like. And we're going to read all 13 verses of this passage, and we're going to use this today as our guiding point in our conversation that I feel like God has put upon my heart for what he wants us to know about we will do. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, it'll be on the screen if you do not have your Bible with you today. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Paul writes, and he says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now, abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Father, we thank you so much that we get to be in your house, look to your word, fellowship together, worship together. But now, God, as the word of God goes forth, I pray that it would be like that sower that went out and sowed seed and it fell upon good ground. I know that there was stony ground, there was thorny ground, there was places that got scorched, but God, there was also good ground. And I'm praying for good ground today. I'm praying for hearts and minds to be receptive to the word of God, that we would be able to accomplish everything that you've called us and created us to do. And then we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to start with a review from a few weeks ago where we talked about we. And I told you how when you use the terminology we in the English language, it's used by a speaker to refer to himself and or more other people considered together. And when we talk about we, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about being together. We don't want to be a body that has schisms in it. We don't want to be a divided body. We want to be a unified body, because David wrote and he said how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down the beard of Aaron. It's like the dew that descended upon Mount Hermon, and there God has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. And I want you to know this, we are in this together. When you, as I was praying earlier over the people that have recently joined the church, the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I want you to know you don't have to rejoice on your own. You don't have to weep on your own. We are in this together. We're here for you. A lot of churches, a lot of people talk about let's do life together. But what really happens is the second you go out of that door, this person goes to their life and this person goes to their life. But the word of God is clear that we're supposed to be joined together. We're supposed to supply what each other have need of. And so we're seeking to build what God has dropped in my spirit, in my heart, to call a community of unity. Not just a community, but a strong community. You know, there's communities and then there's strong communities. And a place where God is honored. A place where people feel loved. In fact, that's one of my greatest prayers. I prayed it multiple times this morning. God, I pray that when people walk in this building, they feel love. Why? Because God is love. If you go somewhere and you don't feel loved, God's not there. Because wherever God is, there will be love. Because if God is love, that means that wherever he is, love should be abounding. And so that's why I want to talk to you about how love is patient. Love is kind. I want you to realize this. Anytime in the Bible or in this passage where it says love is, you could actually substitute God is. And so think about this. When you think about God, God is patient. So often we don't think about the patience of God. He's long-suffering with us. I'm so thankful that God didn't wash his hands of me every single time that I've messed up because I've given him time after time after time. And every single time, you know what? He's been patient with me. He's been faithful. Even when I've been faithless, he has remained faithful. And so we want to build a community where God is honored and where people are loved. A place where you're growing. I don't want to get stagnant. I don't want to stay the same. I want to grow and I want to see you grow. But you know what? I've noticed about a community of unity, a strong community, a place where God's honored, a place where people grow, people are loved. It doesn't happen by just hanging around. By just being here, by just showing up. You know what happens? It happens by getting involved. You know, a seed doesn't bear fruit when it's hanging in a packet in the store. When it's just sitting in that packet, it has every potential to feed your family. It has every potential to be put in the ground and to germinate and to break forth and to produce fruit. But as long as it stays in that package and it's just hanging around in the store, it won't do anything. But you know what? Something happens when the package gets opened, the seed gets taken, deposited into the ground. God begins to go to work. And it dies. That seed really dies. And sometimes, you know, becoming a part of a community will take dying to yourself. Because it's a death of, I feel uncomfortable. I don't know about opening myself up. Be willing to do what maybe you haven't been willing to do before so that you can see the results that God has for your life. So it doesn't happen just hanging around. A process has to take place. That seed has to be invested into the ground so that it can grow and can become so much greater than it ever could be if it would have remained in the form of a seed. And every community, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, every strong community has four things. And I want to be intentional to foster and to implement these things here. I don't want to just talk about it 1 week. I want to remind you of it. And I want to ask you to be intentional to do this to practice these things in your life. Number one, acceptance. I want you to know you're accepted here. That's the same thing as saying you're loved here, just how you are. Yeah, we're going to expect you to grow. We expect to grow, but you're accepted here. We love you. It also has support. You're supported. You're not on your own. You don't have to make it, you know, just on your own, in your own strength. We're here to support you. The third thing is encouragement. I pray that every time you come here, you're encouraged to be a better child of God, a better husband, a better wife, better parents, a better child, a better employee. I hope that also when you come here and in this community, you receive correction. Because encouragement with no correction is a very dangerous place to live. Correction is always, true correction is always given out of love. It's because I want you to grow. It's because I want you to become better. And so we're going to have those four things. When brethren dwell together in unity, God says it's good. That word good means best. It's best for you to dwell in unity. It's pleasant. It's agreeable in my sight. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about what we will do. Because it's important that you understand if you're going to become a part of this family and you're saying, you know what? This is my community. This is where I'm going to have unity. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to build my life. These are the people I'm going to do life with. It's important that you understand that we define this is what we're going to do. So that you know what you're signing up for, what you're getting into. You ever signed up for something and then you're like, this is not what I signed up for? Well, I'm going to be very upfront and honest. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you 10 things today. This is what we will do. Not just in 2024. This is who we're going to be as the Well Fort Payne. This is what we're going to do. It's important that we define this. This is important for your family that you define. We will do this. We will do that. It's important if you have a business, if you have a relationship, any level, it's important that you define this is what we will do because it's called vision. And the Bible says without vision, people perish. People cast off restraint. And so this is what we're going to do. This is the vision that I feel like God has given me for the Well Fort Payne. Next week, we're going to discuss about what we will not do because that's equally as important as defining what you will do. And I want you to realize this. This comes with accountability. As I sit before you today, I can't just say, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and then not do it. I'm now accountable as a pastor because I've thrown vision out, but you're also accountable as a part of this family that we are going to do these things. So are you ready? I've got 10, so we're going to jump right in. Number one, we will let love lead. That's why we read 1 Corinthians 13 earlier. Everything that we read in that passage of scripture, we're committed to. We're bound to because we're Bible-believing people. We believe that if it's in the Word of God, if He said it, we're going to believe it. We're not just going to believe it. We're going to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word of God. And so we're going to let love lead us. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives us the most beautiful and accurate description of love. It tells us what love will do and what love will not do. And so nothing matters in life. This is the moral of the story of 1 Corinthians 13. Nothing matters if you don't have love. No matter how great it seems spiritually, no matter how much you give, no matter how many times you speak in tongues, no matter how many times you operate in faith, if you do those things without love, you're a clanging brass and a cymbal, and you really, it doesn't profit anybody anything. It doesn't help anything. And so nothing else I say today to you or anything that I've said previously today will amount to anything in your life if I don't say it in love. I've got to have love to say this to you. I could give you the most wonderful sermon of all time. I'm not promising that. Don't hold me to it. But I could if God allowed me to. But if I didn't do it in love, it doesn't matter how moving it is. It doesn't matter how much truth is in it if it's not done in love. Because love has to be the bond that holds everything together. The next 9 things that I say, you could take them. And you could say, all right, I am going to follow these things that Pastor Spencer has given us. We will do this. We will be committed to do it as a family. We're going to make sure that we're dotting every I, crossing every T. I'm going to write these things down. I'm going to think about them. I'm going to pray about them. I'm going to live them. But if you don't do them in love, they won't help you. If you don't do them in love, we won't build a community of unity. If you don't do them in love, nobody will be profited in any shape, form, or fashion. But if you do it in love, even the simplest thing done in love can make such a dramatic and drastic difference in people's life. Love should not be an afterthought. Sometimes we get so focused on what we need to do that we forget to love. Trust me in this. If you will focus on loving, you'll do the right thing. If you love God, the Bible says, you will love your brother. If you love God, you will not sin against God. The most important thing in life is this, knowing God loves you. The second most important thing, you loving God. Sometimes we think loving God is the most important thing. No, no, no. If you don't first understand how much God loves you, you will never really be able to love God. And you'll never really be able to love other people either. And so it's important that we're going to let love lead in our life. Love's not going to be an afterthought. Oh yeah, you know what? I need to get better at loving people. No, that's going to be our focus. Jesus said, this commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you. That's my commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not optional in the kingdom of God. If we're going to live in the kingdom, we're going to be people that serve God. We've got to learn to let love lead. I want to let love lead how I speak to people. That I'd be slow to speak, quick to listen, because I want to make sure that everything that I say to you, I say it out of love. Even if I have to issue correction to my children, I don't want to do it in frustration. I don't want to do it in anger. I want to forsake wrath. I want to cease from anger. I want to do it in love. I want to make sure that how I treat my spouse, it's done in love. It's amazing how we forget those vows that we made at the altar. We're coming up on 12 years married. Maybe you've been married for 20 years, 30 years. Remember what you said, in sickness and in health, in prosperity and in adversity. You said, I do. I do is not just I do right now. It also is I will. And so let's make sure that in our marriage, in our parenting, in our the making of decisions that we have, that we do everything out of love. Because why? If we don't have love, it will fail. If we don't have love, it will not matter. It may make you look good for a moment, but it won't actually profit or amount to anything. So number one, we're going to let love lead. The second thing we're going to do, we're going to believe the best. We're going to be people that no matter what comes our way, because listen, Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. I didn't count on missing church last week because I couldn't get off the couch. Bad things are going to happen. Your car's going to break down. Your AC is going to go out. You might lose your job. You may lose the loved one. I'm not hoping that on you. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, and I'm not speaking that over your life. But what I'm saying is, in the midst of every moment, we're going to be people that we choose, I'm going to believe the best. Why? Because I serve the best God. I serve the one and only true God. And so I'm not going to believe for the worst. I'm not going to be that person that every time something happens, I say, this always happens to me. Why can't anything ever go my way? It seems like everything's always breaking down. Everything's always going bad. No, we're going to be people. And sometimes you have to step in when your friend starts down that road of negativity and you say, hey, remember this. Remember what Spencer said? We're going to believe the best. Maybe your spouse starts getting discouraged. We never have enough money. Why is it that this bill's piling up and this is happening? Hey, you know what? Let's believe the best. Let's believe that God is our source. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He will provide and he will supply all of our need, which accords to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to believe the best. Now, there's this thing called Murphy's Law. Y'all are familiar with Murphy's Law, right? I like to say this. I don't live under Murphy's Law. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I live under grace. So Murphy's Law is this. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. But grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited means you did it and you couldn't earn it. And so I don't live under, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. I live under favor, meaning God has given me grace. He's given me favor on my life. And so that's why I can say I'm believing for the best. I'm not believing that it's going to break down. It's going to go wrong. Things are going to be terrible. Things are going to be bad. I'm going to believe, you know what? I live under grace. So therefore, I believe that God can provide. God can sustain. God can heal. God can deliver. God can do what I cannot do on my own. And so I'm going to believe for the best. I understand life can be hard. You know what else I've come to know? Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen when you do the right thing. And sometimes we think that doing the right thing is a shield from bad things happening. As I read the Bible, that's not how I see it work. As I've lived life, trust me, I've had good things happen when I was living bad, and I've had bad things happen when I was living good. But you know what I know is that God is always after my heart to be in the right place. And sometimes he will allow testing, and he will allow trials to find out, am I going to believe for the best? Am I going to stay in faith? But you know what else we're going to believe the best in? Each other. I'm so sick of people always, well, they're probably going to do this. They're probably going to do that. Like, what if we believe the best in each other instead of, you know, oh, well, that's how they always respond. What if we started to speak into each other the best for one another, encouraging one another? We will not be suspicious. We will not be judgmental. But you know what? We will be believing and encouraging. I'm going to believe the best in you, and I'm going to believe the best for you. I'm standing with you. The third thing that we're going to do is we're going to forgive forever. Why? Because our master, our savior, our rabbi told us this. If you do not forgive men their trespasses on earth, my father will not forgive yours in heaven. And so we're going to forgive. In community, which we're talking about and we're trying to foster and we want to grow in. And if that word scares you, it's probably because you haven't actually felt true, real good community before. In community, though, there's a reality, and it's called hurt. In community, I could say in church, in family, in friendships, you're going to get hurt. It's inevitable. Somebody's going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to forget to invite you to a party. Somebody is going to not handle something the way that you thought was best for it to be handled, and you have an opportunity to get frustrated and to get mad, and someone may even intentionally do you wrong. But we're going to choose the way of our Lord, the way of our Savior, the way of our Master, the way of our Rabbi, and we're going to remember, wait, my Master taught me. My teacher taught me. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to hold it against him. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to forgive them, even when they don't deserve it. Why? Because we live under grace. And if I've received grace, I should be willing to give grace. You know, you and I weren't deserving of forgiveness at all, but he still freely gave us forgiveness. But notice, it's not just we're going to forgive, it's we're going to forgive forever. What does that mean? That means we're not going to bring it back up later. I want to read you 1 Corinthians 13:5 in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. It says, speaking of love, it does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked and does not keep an account of the wrong suffered. Sometimes we forgive, but we keep an account. We keep it in our back pocket. That's an IOU. I'm going to bring that one back up later. I'm going to remind you of that time that you lost your cool, or that you forgot about me, or that you sought your own. You know, the Bible says if you love someone, you will not keep a record of those things. We will forgive, not just in the moment. We'll never bring it up again. We're going to forgive forever. We are not going to bring up the past, because that's letting love lead. When you let love lead, love says you're not going to bear a record of that wrong. It's as far as the east is from the west, as far as he's removed our transgressions. If that's what he's chosen to do for us, and that's what we should choose to do for each other, we're going to forgive. No matter how wrong they were, no matter how bad they treated us, no matter what it was, we are going to forgive. There is not one justification that I can find in the scripture for unforgiveness. There's not one time that God says, oh, you know what? This is one area where you should not forgive people. In every area, we're called and choose to forgive. So the fourth thing we're going to do in accordance with forgive forever is we're going to say sorry. We can't just say, because if we choose, I'm going to forgive forever, you also have to put it on the flip side and say, there's going to be times that I'm going to need to be forgiven, but I'm going to be the type of person that if I mess up, if I offend you, if I hurt your feelings, if I make a decision that affects your life in a negative way, I'm going to be willing to come back and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have responded that way. I shouldn't have treated you that way. That was very insensitive of me. Would you please forgive me? Because I'm in need of forgiveness right now. Be willing to say those things. You know, so many relationships could have been salvaged if someone was willing to say, I'm sorry. When you wrong someone or someone wrongs you, ask yourself this, what do I want more? What do I want more right now? Do I want restoration or do I want to be seen as right? Because you could save that relationship if you would just go and say, hey, I'm sorry. I know it hurts sometimes. I know that it may seem embarrassing, but you have to weigh it out and you have to realize I may lose them if I don't say I'm sorry. So I'm going to be willing to admit when I'm wrong and say, I'm sorry. That's the fourth thing we're going to do. The fifth thing that we will do, and next week after we go through we will not, I'm going to have a bookmark. And on one side, it's going to say we will, 1 through 10. We will not, 1 through whatever. I don't know. We may have 25 we will nots. I don't know. We may have 3. I don't know. You know, I almost was like, this is too many. This is too many. We need to keep it simple so people can remember it. But I feel like each one of these are so important of things that we will do. The fifth thing that we will do is we will give generously. We're going to, on a personal level and on a church-wide level. And I want to start by thanking you and commending you greatly for how you gave last week when we received the first fruits offering. We received over $7,000 last week for our first fruits offering. Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that? That gets us one step closer to being able to put bathrooms in the back. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. For people that have stage fright, that's got to be the worst bathroom in the entire world. But for a community this size, I'm blown away. And I want to say thank you for your generosity. So when I say we're going to give generously, I'm not trying to drum up and get more money out of you. I want to start by saying thank you. Not just we will, we're already doing this. And I commend you for that. It's not just about money, though, when you talk about generosity. Generosity is not regulated by money or to money. I want to encourage you, let's be generous in every single way. Let's be generous with compliments. Some people act like if they gave a compliment, it'd break their life down. They wouldn't have anything left. Be kind. Let's be generous with love. Love suffers long. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Let's be generous in lending a helping hand. I have to brag on Pastor Lauren. Like many of you know, this past week I was sick. Sick as a dog. Couldn't get off the couch. And we'd had a limb fall down across our driveway. Yesterday morning, I sat down to begin to prepare and get ready for this morning, and I get a text that says, "Good morning, Pastor. Where would you like the limb stacked?" And so I went outside, and there was Pastor Lauren in 12-degree weather in my front yard with a chainsaw ready to cut down. And I can't tell you how much that meant to us because I'd been too sick to get out there and do it. It'd been too cold. I don't know why I chose yesterday when it was 12 degrees, but that's between him and God. He's going to get double gold stars for that, I'll tell you. That's being generous. That's giving generous. That's what community looks like. Lending a helping hand, bearing one another's burdens. And I want to encourage you with this. If you want to break out of selfishness, maybe you're like me and at times you feel selfish. You want to break out of selfishness. You want to break out of poverty, feeling like you don't have enough. Give. Find something. Find someone. Find a way to give. Because when you give, you unlock a kingdom principle that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. As long as your heart is in the right place, that you're not sowing to get, but you're sowing to give, it'll work. See, Pastor Lauren didn't scratch my back so that I could scratch his later. He did it because he's a loving person. He's a generous person. He's a kind person. And I've seen him do it not just for me. I've seen him do it for total strangers before. And so if you want to be the type of person that you're not bound by selfishness or by greed, give. Give. Give some. Maybe you've never given money before. Give money. I'm not saying you have to give it here, give it to somebody. Maybe you've never given time before. Give, volunteer, find out how can I serve? How can I get involved? The word generously means this. Means to give in a way that shows a readiness to give more of something, especially money, than is necessary or expected. To give in a way that you're ready. That word readiness means excited. So it means this, to give in a way that shows you're excited to give more than's necessary. That's what it means to live generously. That I'm not just going to give what I have to give to get by. I'm excited to give, and I'm ready to give more than necessary or more than is expected. I didn't expect Pastor Lauren to show up in my driveway yesterday morning, but he did. Why? Because he was living generously. So we're going to give generously. The sixth thing we're going to do is we're going to honor happily. So many people use the scripture that's found in Romans, the 13th chapter, that says, give honor where honor is due as an excuse to not show honor. I've seen this time and time again. Well, you know what? I'm not going to give honor to them because the Bible says give honor where honor is due, and honor is obviously not due in their life because they're not an honorable person. That's trying to twist the scripture to mean what you want it to mean. Because if you keep reading the Bible, you would come over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, where Peter says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. You know, some people say, well, that president, he doesn't do things that line up with the word of God, so therefore I'm not going to be honorable towards him. And I am sick and tired of Christians tearing down politicians. Pray for them. I understand they may not do it the way that you want them to do it, or even the way that you think God wants them to do it. But where does that give you a right to be disrespectful when the Bible says honor the king? I'm not saying you have to agree with their decisions. I'm not saying you got to switch to their political party. I'm saying pray for them. Be honoring. We're going to honor people happily, not begrudgingly, not because we have to do it, but because out of our honor, we're going to show honor. You know, to dishonor somebody is to devalue the very image of God. Because if you truly believe that every single person was created in the image of God, when you dishonor someone, you are devaluing the image of God. When you dehumanize somebody, you are devaluing who God said, I put my stamp of approval on that person. No matter their race, their age, their gender, their mental capacity, every single person is deserving of honor. Why? Because the Bible says honor all people. Last time I checked, all people, that definition of that, if you want to really get into the Greek, it means all people. There's nobody that you can look at them and say, they don't deserve honor. Because when you show honor, you're not just showing honor to them, you're showing I'm a person of honor. So we're going to honor happily. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. He said, make it a challenge that I'm going to try to honor them more than someone else can. And I'm going to do it. I want you to do it to everybody. So we will honor others, not begrudgingly, but happily. It's my honor to show you honor. And we should treat each other that way. The seventh thing we're going to do is we're going to seek to serve. Not seek to get out of serving. We're going to seek to serve. I want to look for ways that I can serve other people. And I hope that you have the same mindset and mentality. In fact, Jesus said, as much as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Or as much as you have not done it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. I want to get to heaven. And I want Jesus to say, well done. As much as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. I don't want any of these things that I'm talking about today, all 10 of them, to be confined to this church, but especially this one. We will not just seek to serve at church where it's socially acceptable to serve. And it's been rammed down our throat. Serve, serve, serve. Servant leadership. I'm all for servant leadership. Why don't you try it at work? Why don't you try it at home? Why don't you try it at the grocery store? Why don't you stand at the door and maybe it puts you 3 minutes late getting inside the door, but you hold the door for people so that they can get in. Seek to serve. Look for ways. How can I invest? How can I make somebody else's day better today? Seeking to serve. We have a phrase around here. It's, we are in the community for the community. It's hanging on a banner in our parking lot. It's not just a nice little slogan to hang up so that other people think, oh, that's so nice. We are in this community for this community. And the way that we are going to make that a reality is by seeking to serve. Not just with organized events. Now that's going to come. We're going to make sure that we have time, set aside times where we serve our community this year. We try to do that. But I want you in your personal life to be individually seeking to help wherever there is a need. Not for gain, not for recognition, but from a heart that says, I want to treat everyone like Jesus. And I want to seek, who can I serve? Can I serve my children? Can I serve my wife? Can I serve my neighbor? Can I serve my coworkers? How would the world change if just this group of people said, you know what, let's seek to serve. Let's find somebody we can help. The eighth thing we're going to do is we're going to grow greatly. But you know what I've learned about growth? It takes effort. Growth is never a product of happenstance. You don't just all of a sudden grow in an area. Let's say you wanted to grow in your knowledge of history. You're not going to wake up tomorrow knowing more about history unless you open a book, unless you visit a website, unless you take a class, unless you listen to a podcast. It takes intentional effort. And so if you want to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, it's going to take effort. If you want to grow in this community, it's going to take effort. It's going to take you saying, hey, this is way out of my comfort zone. Would you like to get coffee one day? Would you like to hang out? Would you like to spend some time together? But we can't grow if we don't get invested. If we don't, you know, choose, I'm going to grow in my passion for God. Maybe it's something like taking the Excel class. I'm so excited about this Excel class. Pastor Madison and I won't be able to be here tonight because we were already previously committed to be at a service in Huntsville. But I'm excited. Pastor Joel Tinker will be here teaching the first class. In fact, a lot of the material we're teaching, we adopted from him. He's an incredible teacher of the word. But I'm excited because you know what this Excel is? It's an opportunity to grow greatly together. To get in the Word of God and to get to know one another better. We're going to grow in our love for one another. We're going to, all these things we're talking about, if we will grow in these things, then we'll grow greatly. And I'm not just talking about this church growing. I want this church to grow. Look, I would love if every seat in here was packed. And we will see God move and we will see people's lives change. We'll see more people come. But you know what I'm concerned with? You growing. The person next to you growing. The person behind you growing. It's not just about growing a bigger church. It's about growing a better church. That as we're the body of Christ, we're getting better. Remember this. Not we might. What's the title? We will. Not we might grow. We will grow greatly. I'm certain that in every level in 2024, we're going to grow greatly. We're positioned and primed to grow and to see God move. The ninth thing that we're going to do is we're going to protect peace. Adopt this thought. If it isn't peaceful, I don't want it. If it's not peaceful, I don't need it. I don't have room for that. You guys ever heard that? Ain't nobody got time for that? Right? Every next time something non-peaceful comes your way, say, ain't nobody got time for that. That's not coming in my home. It's not coming in my life. Because my Bible says in Isaiah, the 26th chapter in the 3rd verse, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. And so many people don't understand you can live in perfect peace. Perfect peace is not the absence of problems. Perfect peace is found only in keeping your mind stayed upon him, which is protecting, I'm going to live in peace. I'm not going to live in turmoil. I'm not going to live in shame. I'm not going to live in constant frustration and struggle. I'm going to live in peace. Why? Because my Bible says in the book of Romans that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so if that's what the kingdom is made up of, then that's what our home is going to have. We're going to have righteousness. We're going to have peace. We're going to have joy in the Holy Ghost. So if it's not peaceful, I don't want it. We're protecting peace. That conversation, that's not peaceful, so we're not having it. Now, I understand that you cannot live in a glass house. You can't live in a bubble and say, oh, nothing bad is ever going to happen. As I said earlier, peace is not the absence of problems. It's choosing, I'm staying in peace, and I'm going to, as the Bible says in the book of Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule means to act as umpire. It means to make the call. Peace is making the call. Is this coming in? Because if it's of peace, I'll take it. But if it's not, I don't want anything to do with it. We're called to be peacemakers. Amen? Here's the 10th and the final thing that we're going to do, and I'm very passionate about this. I talk to our leadership about this quite often. In fact, they probably tire of hearing me talk about it. But the 10th thing that we're going to do is we're going to exude excellence. I want this to be the greatest place that anyone can go in Fort Payne, Alabama. I don't want there to be any restaurant that has a greater experience. Why? Because here is the sanctuary of the Most High God, the place where his glorious presence dwells, and there's not anything in the world that can compete with that. You know, there are restaurants and there are hotels that people make reservations months in advance because it's so excellent and it's so great that they would do anything to get there and they have to be on a waiting list, and yet churches are empty because we can't compete with the excellence that the world has because we're not even trying. And so we're going to be people that whether we're at our job or whether if you are a server, you wait tables, that restaurant should be more excellent because you're there. If you're a mechanic, you work on cars, that shop should be serviced at the most excellent way that you can possibly do it because you're there. And because the Bible says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And we are called by his name. And if his name is excellence, then that means we're called in excellence. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that your servants, they are excellent ones. So we're going to serve God in excellence. We're not going to do things half-hearted. We're not going to do things part way. I want people to be greeted with excellence when they come into this place. I want the coffee to be excellent. I want the nursery to be excellent. I want the children's area. I want the bathrooms to be excellent. Not because we're trying to impress anybody. This isn't about building a place where we, you know, we have a great Yelp review or a good Google review. But I want to take this approach. I want people to see how I live and know I live for the glory of God. Because Paul said in the book of Colossians, whatever you do, do your work with all of your heart. And do it as for the Lord, not for people. So when I say I want to have a place of excellence, it's not to impress people. It's because I want to do it as if, because remember what Jesus said, as much as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, I want every person to come in here, I'm treating them like Jesus is coming in this place. How would we act if Jesus Christ himself walked through that door? However you would act towards him, that's how you should act towards every single person that comes in here. Because we want to do it as unto him. Verse 24 says, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We're not here to impress people. We're here to love people. We're here to welcome people. We're here to love God. And because of that, we want to exude excellence. I don't want to be the type of person that's like, well, just be glad I made any effort at all. You know? I mean, what if you showed up and Pastor Jeff and I were out front, you know, just on a smoke break, you know, and you come walking in and we don't even say, how you doing or nothing. Just, hey, how you doing? You know, just go back to our business. No, I want you to come in here, and this place is excellent. We serve you. We welcome you. Whether it's your first time or you've been here 100 times, I want you to feel welcomed when you come into this place. There's a difference, though, between excellence and extravagance. I'm not seeking extravagance. I don't want to be flamboyant. Because you can't make something excellent by throwing money at it. Excellence comes from the heart. Extravagance comes from the pocketbook. We're not just trying to throw money at stuff. And we want to have the best. We want to be the best. I believe that in the kingdom, we should be the best and have the best. Because God is the best. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when Solomon went to build that temple, he got the best wood imported. And then he covered it in gold. He was going to cover it in gold anyway. He could have used any old wood, but he didn't. He wanted the best because it was God's house. I want this to be the best. Why? Because this is God's house. This is the place where his glorious presence dwells. And you know what excellence does in anything, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whether it's church, whether it's family, excellence shows you care. I want, when people come in here, I want them to say, you know what I love about the Well? They care. They care about people. They care about God. But your testimony is only as good as your effort. No one cares how spiritual you are if you're a lousy neighbor. Lousy coworker, you know? Let's go back to, what did Paul say? He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, excellence is one way we show love. He's saying, if I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, listen, you could go around interpreting everybody's dream at your work, but if you don't love them, you don't have excellence, you're not showing up on time, you're not getting your stuff done, they don't care. You know why Joseph rose to the top of Egypt? He was a man of excellence. Everything he did, it got better because he was a part of it. He wasn't just interpreting dreams. He was making sure that Potiphar's house and the palace and the prison, wherever he was, it was operating at an excellent level. If we will take this and decide, you know what, I'm going to be a person of excellence. I believe that it's going to impact this community greatly. So let's run through these very quickly. We're going to let love lead. We're going to believe the best. We're going to forgive forever. We're going to say sorry. We're going to give generously, honor happily, seek to serve, grow greatly, protect peace. And we're going to exude excellence everywhere that we go, not just at church and not just at work. We're going to be excellent people because we're called by an excellent God. There's no back door to excellence. You can't sneak your way in. You can't buy your way in. And I want to close with this. We will do these things is not just a statement. We will is issuing forth from God to us saying, I want you to do these things. Not just saying, we will. No, we will means we will. We will actually follow through with the practical application and action of we're going to do these things. And you know what else we're going to do? We're going to hold each other accountable to them. Hey, and this may get awkward. Hey, was that seeking to serve? Right? Maybe you need to check yourself in the mirror. Hey, was that being led in love? Maybe you need to check yourself and say, was that really giving generously or was that just giving? Have you forgiven forever or are you still bearing record of wrong? Are you growing greatly right now? Are you protecting peace? Was that excellent? You know, I have to ask myself sometimes, whether it's with worship or whether it's in preparation for a sermon or even if it's just something I'm doing around here during the week, I have to ask myself, was that excellence? Was that the best that I could possibly give? Or was that just enough to get by? We will do these things. Why? Because what we do is basically a reflection of who we are. And we want to honor God and we want to love people. Stand to your feet with me today. I'm going to ask you if you would to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to begin to search your heart. Let the Holy Spirit go to work. Because as I was driving here this morning and I was just thinking about this morning and I was beginning to pray and prepare, I started thinking, you know, it's one thing to say we will do these things, but I was reminded of a scripture, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We're not going to do these things in our own strength and just expect God to bless it. So God, I'm asking right now that you would anoint us by your Holy Spirit. Because you gave this vision. You gave these 10 things that you want us to do. But God, if we try to do them without love, if we try to do them outside of the power that you give by your Holy Spirit, it won't amount to anything. It'll just be another club. It'll just be another people trying to do good. But God, we don't want to just do good. We want to do it with you. We want to do it with your strength that only you can supply. And so if you want a fresh outpouring of the strength of God to help you to complete what he is calling us to do as this community, would you just lift your hands this morning? And Father, we say, fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us fresh and anew. Fill us with love for people. Fill us with a desire to serve you and to realize that as much as we do it to the least of these, our brethren, we're doing it as unto you, God, heartily as unto you, not half-hearted, not just enough to get by, but God, we want to give a pleasing offering to you, but we need you, God, as we sing quite often, it's your breath in our lungs, and so we pour the praise back on you, God. We don't want to try to do this on our own. We don't want to do it in our own strength. We don't want to strive in our own power, but we say we need the hand of the Most High God to rest upon us. So would you fill this place today and rejuvenate us, strengthen us. The Bible says I want to read a scripture to you in the book of 1 Peter that has been a life verse to me. It's in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Not in the ability that we can supply and just getting excited about something or, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a difference. But God, let us do it with the ability that you supply. And let us not try to manufacture or to fabricate something in our own ability. But God, we say we want you. We can do nothing without you. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. God, we need you so desperately. If we're going to touch DeKalb County, we need you. If we're going to see souls saved, we need you. If we're going to see bodies healed, we need you. If we're going to see great growth and we're going to serve and we're going to love and we're going to give, God, let it be so with the power which you supply. So go deep in our hearts today, God. Strengthen us to carry what we could not carry on our own. As we come to you, we take your yoke upon us because it's easy, it's light. Train us, equip us, and prepare us. And we say, we will. We commit ourselves. In fact, would you just say that with me? Say, we will. We will. God, we will do everything that you've called us and created us to do by your grace, by your strength, and by your power. And God, we want to see this community transformed with the goodness of God. And so, Lord, use us in any shape, form, or fashion. Help us to get over ourselves and just let you use us. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you go and do the will of God, not leaving anything undone, but walking in the power of his Holy Spirit, strengthened by his word, led by his hand. May you accomplish everything he has for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God. We love you guys so much. Don't forget, if you're taking Excel, it's at 5 p.m. tonight. Love y'all.